Welcome back to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. We back with another edition of Heat Check. A lot of stuff going on in the NBA. Playoffs underway. Got to talk to you first and foremost, Gil. I know you've seen it. We didn't get a chance to talk about it, but Andrew Wiggins dunking all over Luka's life.
That was nice. That was nice.
Does anything get taken away because you got to review it? Or does it just, not like, if you dunk on a guy in a game, let's say they call a charge, I'm thinking like Anthony Edwards, and they call a charge, does that, if you're the guy on the other side, does that charge matter? Or are you still humiliated?
You still humiliated? What? Come on, you still got dunked on.
Yeah.
You still got dunked on. So I personally think that ref should be fined or suspended.
I have nothing to do with this NBA. No. Pandering for bags.
The reason is this. If a player does something right, he can get fined or suspended or tech. Same thing with a coach. Referees don't get reprimanded.
Yeah.
Not publicly, but they should. Like, we got to know something is happening. Like, you make a bad call, you do something like this dumb, or you agitate a player to the point where you say something to him, he says something back, you give him a tech. I think there's just too much power with that whistle that there's no penalty to it. I know there's penalties because there's certain levels that certain refs just haven't been to, finals, conference finals, and, you know, your resume gets you there. But I think that some of these refs, I think all refs should be able to get fined publicly.
Okay.
I don't give a f- if it's $1.
Yeah.
At least let us know as humans, as fans, as athletes, that penalties do happen for them. They get fined, and he got fined $500 for that bad call. He got a strike against him for that bad call. Something, because if we do something wrong, we get penalized for it. So, you know, that was a really bad call.
Yeah.
$200, $300 fine.
Should players be able to give refs techs? Like, should you get one tech a year, I'm gonna give it to whoever.
Something. The petty me says yes.
Okay.
It has to be one of those things. It's like, I always compare them to cops, right? And when I say that is, you think about cops, no one ever gets pulled over and say, oh my God, I love this guy. Same thing with refs. There's not been one player that look at that referee thing and be like, oh my God, my favorite ref. Oh, this. You know what I mean? Like, no one likes.
You don't have refs that you rock with?
Yes,
though?
But then you got two other ones. You're like, God damn it. Like,
because you know, like, high school, college was a cool ref. Like, all right, he not going to f*** me at least. Like, he may not give me no calls, but he not going to call no bullshit on me.
But that's what I said. But there's two other refs.
Yeah.
Right? So when you look at refs as a whole, no one likes referees. No one likes police. They just fit together. You give the refs too much power. They have too much power. They can control the elements of the game. So the fact that they can give out texts but can't get texts, in a sense. Like, wait, hold on. He cussed at me first. Tech. Citizen's arrest. Something. You should be able to challenge a technical, or you should be able, a coach should be able to give a ref a tech. Two techs, get the fuck out of the game. Show ass out of the game. Hey, you want to do that? Get your ass out of the game. Get a new referee.
You seen the call you made. You
yeah,
out.
Yeah, you seen them. It ain't even got nothing to call. Like, you know, sometimes they just be dickheads sometimes. Don't talk to me. Turn their back. Right? And then you do the same thing to them. Tech.
That's real. So I want to ask you, we saw Wiggins just demoralize Luka. Have you ever got caught like that in the game, and who got you? Like, what's the one you think about?
Boozer.
Wow, okay.
This is back when players used to take charges still.
Okay.
So it was on a fast break, you know, trying to, it's always token defense. Okay. I don't want to get a foul. And then, coming down the lane, and he just all left hand leaned and left hand leaned, had me under the rim.
Bro, I had to guard Boozer in AAU one time. I told this story on Twitter. He was like a grown-ass man at that point.
Dude.
I was like a sophomore, junior, maybe in high school. He was a year older playing with Ebo. But I remember two things. He had a military bowl cut, and I'm like, damn, I got to guard this dude with the bowl cut. But he built like a grown-ass, and it's like, what do you want me to do with this dude right now? Hold on, is this the play? We get to watch it? And you were nowhere near the
charge. I don't know what I was doing. It was one of those things of just, I know I was supposed to take a charge, But I was out of...
Matt Barnes called me like that one time in practice, and it really had me reevaluating my whole life, because literally Coach laughed, everybody on the team was laughing in my face, and I'm just like, damn, dog, like no, no more charges.
Listen, it should be a rule. Take charges on people who can't dunk. People who can't dunk, you can take charges on.
So we talk about Andrew Wiggins. I mean, there's a lot of people out there. First overall pick. Some people were under the impression that he was a bust and kind of found this new life with Golden State. Do you agree with them, or do you attribute that to... It's, a lot of it has to depend. You know, he's going to the Timberwolves. Let's just say, not the best squad.
Would you say bust?
This is, again, not me talking, because I've been rocking with Wiggins. I've been telling Warriors fans Wiggins was that dude for a while.
Listen, Wiggins has averaged about 18 points his whole career. That is not a bust.
Consistent.
That's not a bust. Like, there's busts out there, trust me, at the number one pick. People don't want to say that his draft sucked ass. His draft sucked ass. I mean, you got Embiid from his draft class, and you got Jokic, who was the second rounder.
Which is wild.
So basically, Wiggins has them. If you had to add up points and stuff, Wiggins has the most points out of his draft class. His just draft class is just terrible. You know, it's I mean, you between that two draft class, I think the only All-Stars is Wiggins now, Zach LaVine, Embiid, and Jokic probably. There might be somebody else, but those are the only four that I know from that draft class. So you can't consider him a bust. Like, he's the top of his draft class still.
For sure. Well, let's keep this thing moving. We talk about Luka, man, who's on the other side of that. Luka's had a great playoffs. I mean, look at his postseason history in his brief career. It's phenomenal. I think the points per game is like on MJ level, obviously. But one of the knocks on Luka is obviously his body, his defense, his conditioning. Do you buy that hype and criticism that he's quote-unquote out of shape, or is that just, you know, this is what we're going to have to accept and deal with this dude?
Okay, so you have to play 35 minutes and above every single night, you're in shape. You're in NBA shape. Elite, you're talking about 42 minutes a game, that's a whole different in shape, right? That's a whole different type of in shape. So when you're talking about players that are in, like, is he in LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, is he in those, Jason, is he in that kind of shape? No. But he don't have to be. You know what I mean? He don't have to be yet. He probably doesn't even know how to get to that shape yet. But he's in, he's still in superstar shape. But, you know, when you're talking about one versus, see, I think people think he's out of shape because now he has to play one versus five. One versus five, that's a whole nother.
That's the thing they're missing.
Like somebody like Embiid is not in shape. Jokic, not in shape. They're not in Greek the Freak shape. They couldn't guard Greek the Freak 82 games.
Yeah.
That's a whole different, that's a whole different type of in shape. You know what I mean? They're in shape for regular season. But they're in shape for team basketball. They're not in shape for you. You're going to be doubled the whole series, and you got to play 42 minutes, and you got to play defense against this guy. They're not in that type of shape. That's extra work on top of extra work. That means, like, during the season, while you already have 82 games and you're traveling, you're still putting in line drills by yourself. You're still putting in 2-3 miles a day where your body probably can't recover fast enough. So you're really beating yourself up still playing the longevity game.
So when you look at Luka, are you concerned at all by that body type? I'm rocking with it. For me, it gives me hope because I like the dad bod out there dropping 40 pieces. I'm just going to be real. But to your point, it don't ever look like he's out of shape there. Like,
no. Okay, prime example is look at Melo. Look at Melo career, right? Melo had the same body. You have the baby fat. And then at a certain point, he's like, man, I got to get in shape. He gets in shape,
yeah,
right? And look at him now. It's still the same. Like, his out of shape is his rookie shape. You know, his that body he has now is his rookie body. You know what I mean? It's with age. He's going to understand how to really push his body. Right now, he don't need to get to that level yet. He doesn't know what that level is.
All right, so I want to put yourself in Luka's position, or say you have the ability now to hit Luka and be like, all right, dog, we're going to spend this summer together getting our minds and bodies right. What are you doing to elevate his game and get him to that next level?
Nothing.
Get him a better team?
The reason I say nothing is this. His summer routine gets him ready for the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
So he, like, if you think about it, think about just logic, right? In the summer, you're in the heat, dieting, training three times a day. You're going to be in peak. So when you come to the season, you cut up, you look nice, muscles all glistening. You get to March, April, May, that around that time, flabby, no cuts and definition in your muscles. So it's basically after All-Star break, we have to recondition to get ready for the playoffs. You know what I mean? So it's not a beginning of the, it's not a summer routine. This is after All-Star break. Yo, we got to start doing, you know, stairs again. We got to start doing this because now we have to push. Because you got to remember, you got in a routine of being lazy, traveling, resting days, playing 40 minutes, not really going up. And like you don't really have that beginning of the season shape. You know, your body's unsluttered. You've been eating really bad during the season, you know, plain food, restaurants, drinking, you know what I mean? So you're not peak performance when it comes to conditioning. You know, you just managed on, you know, we got timeouts, we got free throws, walk the ball up, you know what I mean? You figure out how to mosey on through. So it's one of those things where once after All-Star break comes, you now put in a little like summer with you, you know, little line drills after practice, do some miles on the treadmill at a certain speed. You know what I mean? It's just like trying to pick up to get that cardio back.
Get a real team at some point.
Yes, it's, you know, you have to have a routine, an in-season routine. Like
for sure.
Being in shape, like what LeBron did at 37 is really impressive because that means he's working on his body at least 7 to 8 hours a day during the season.
So you talked about the Lakers. Darvin Ham's name's been thrown around, Doc Rivers. Looking at the coaches.
Whoa. Say that a second one.
Darvin Ham's name.
I heard the first one.
Doc Rivers' name is still,
you said
still
the
being
same,
mentioned.
You said,
I'm telling you what's going on in the universe. I have nothing to do with these things. These things show up on the timeline. I verify that they're actually legit sources. Not trying to get sacked or anything like that. Sacked or
so
cracked.
Doc Rivers' name came up
So, what do you think goes on? And
what's going to go on is I think I'm going to be a Clipper fan.
Oof.
If Doc Rivers is going to head coach of the Lakers.
What happens if Darvin Ham becomes head coach?
I don't know Darvin Ham.
You know, damn, you're not working with
Darvin Ham? I don't really know Darvin Ham like that. I mean, you know, he dunked.
You're not really a Bucks guy. That's the thing.
He jumped, he dunked, and slammed the ball real hard.
Everybody, I think myself included. Everybody kind of remembers Darvin Ham, Texas Tech, breaking the backboard. Like that's the kind of art because the name was like, damn, Darvin's a legendary ass name, and then obviously had a nice NBA career. But do you put any stock in him not being a prime candidate because he doesn't have that head coaching experience, or do you look at him and put him on the same plateau as a guy like a Steve Kerr, who has enough league and NBA experience to come in?
I mean,
and
at the end of the day, you know, it's. I always go about, you know, who you're surrounding yourself with. You know, you're surrounding yourself with basketball minds that's gonna, you know, challenge your coaching strategy, that's gonna challenge your coaching ability, that's gonna make you better. And we all know, we all hear the stories of, you know, you want to be, you know, you businessmen hang around businessmen. You know, you don't want to be the smartest in the room. If you're the smartest in the room, that means the rest of the people around you is a bunch of dummies.
Nope.
You know what I mean? How are they going to teach you? So the same thing with coaching. You know what I mean? If you're the smartest person on your coaching staff, then that is not a good thing because that means everybody around you can't bring anything to you. So now when someone says something that could help you, you're not going to listen to it because like, what the f*** does he know? You know what I mean? So it's one of those things, if you're Darvin Ham, you go out and you recruit the best minds. Like, but I don't think they, everything is so handicapped. Everything is so handicapped with jobs. It's so like, it comes with, you come with baggage. It's like a gift basket Are you? You come to the party? All right, take this home with you, goddammit. You be like, all right. Okay, I got a candle, two lighters, some scents. All right, I don't need half the shit. But that's how these coaching jobs are. Here, but I'm gonna give you this gift basket of coaching staff. Like, I don't know who the hell these people are. Yeah. You know, and I think that's the only problem with the coaching staff, that they can't pick out their own coaches that they're comfortable with, that they know that they can help them out.
And just one more Lakers follow-up. When you look at this squad now, there's been all types of crazy shit out there. You know, Kyrie may not be the happiest person with the Nets right now, potential LeBron reunion. Do you rock with this team? Do you make a move for Westbrook? If you, Gil, have ultimate power control, Gil Pelinka, do you make a move with Westbrook, or do you think, because I think the thing that people don't talk about is AD literally missed 40 games.
I don't make a move with Westbrook because even in a bad year, 17-8-8 or 7, well, how do you don't, like, who are you comparing his numbers to? What you're doing is you're comparing your numbers to his old numbers. You're comparing his numbers to himself. If you compare his numbers across the board, you're not gonna trade him. But you're comparing it to himself. And that's the problem with, you know, Westbrook's numbers, is his numbers are so phenomenal that, you know, anything less than 28-10-11, boo. You know, if he averaged 25-8-8, you're booing him. Because he averaged a triple-double the year before. So it's like, yeah, you can give the Wizards a triple-double. You can't give us that? Oh, nah, boo. You know, so I mean, it's just one of those things where he's too valuable, what he does, what he brings to the game. I can't get rid of a guy who plays hard. You know what I mean? I can channel how he plays the game, but I don't want to take away how he plays the game.
Let's talk about Doc Rivers now. We talked Darvin. But what is it about Doc? I say his name, and I see.
But it's those gimme championships that solidify some of these coaches, and I'd be like, well, wait, hold on. That was he was a losing coach before you gave him rock stars. And then he won a championship. Now his legacy is built on the championship. Y'all value championship. What did he do? After he won a championship, what did he do after that? Nothing. What has he done since then? Nothing. He has the same amount of talent at least 8-9 years since then. He's had impeccable talent on his team. What has he done with it? Nothing. You're just standing on that one championship. And I go about, are you maximizing the players? Are you maximizing the talent? And that's how I judge the coach, is are you maximizing? Are you putting the players in the right positions? If Elton Brand ever did an interview, and he does an interview and he tells the truth, ask him what I said. And I said, when he decided to get Doc, I said, Doc is gonna ruin that team and Ben Simmons is gonna be out of there because he doesn't know how to coach him.
You told Elton Brand this?
When they hired him instead of
Tyron. What did Elton Brand say in response to that?
He was like, I'll let him say it. Okay. I'll let him say it.
Okay.
You know, but you know, me and Elton talk. We talked about, I like that because we play together.
Yeah.
I mean, not together. We played against each other. He's the big homie. You know, we talked about trades, coaches. You know, just like little things, like, what do you think about this coach? Like, I don't know, everybody you asking me? Like, you know, he said, I know you're gonna do the research. You know, I know you're gonna do the research, you're gonna find out, like, stuff I can't find out, and you're really gonna ask people who, you know, and with an unbiased. He's like, you're gonna be unbiased about it, so let me know what you think. And then, you know, when he signed Doc, I was like, eh. Yeah. I said, you're gonna ruin your coach. I said, he's gonna ruin the team, and then,
damn.
Ben is going to be out of there. And that's exactly what happened.
Gilstradamus. All right, let's talk about Kyrie. He's got a $36.9 million player option next year.
$36 million?
37, actually, you 37? Know, 36.9. Expected to decline.
Decline, he's going to opt out of it?
Yeah, he's eligible for 4 years at 182 if he goes elsewhere. You, Kyrie, right now, the experience you had in New York this past season, do you come back and run it back with Brooklyn, or are you traversing, seeing what's cracking? You flying?
Okay, listen. Woo. People, just so we understand, just for the average fan out there that doesn't understand, you have $36 million, right, for next year, or you can opt out of that and sign a whole nother deal. So right now, 1 year, you have guaranteed 36. If you opt out of that, you can be guaranteed $180 million. Why would you go back for 36 when you can grab another $180-something million? So if something happens to you, you already have $180-something guaranteed. That's why you opt out. You opt out because your name is hot enough to still get 180. You don't play that 1 year, something happens to you, and then you don't put that in your bank, right? So you opt out him, James Harden, get the fuck out of those deals, and make sure you bank another.
Do you see him going back to Brooklyn? I mean, we saw the situation with the Celtics. It seemed like he was going to stay there a while, ended up dipping. Do you see that relationship continuing, or you see him making a move?
You know, with Kai is so chess up here, you never know what he's thinking. You know, he can be going back to Brooklyn and change tomorrow. He can be like, man, you know, are they going to be playing them COVID rules again? Are they going to be playing them COVID rules? I don't want to be in Brooklyn no more. Like, you just never know. You know, it's one of those things where only he will let you know and answer that question. If COVID still come around, you're going to miss another half of the season.
No.
And, you know, he's a hooper. And that right there will turn him off. Just knowing that, if going into next season, I might miss half a season again. I don't want that. He playing with my name too much. I need to go out here and bop the shit out of these niggas. You know what I mean? I need to go out there and put a couple people in the blender. You know what I mean? So, you know, he could possibly leave just because of the ruling. Like, everybody else over here, they get to do whatever they want. They don't have to take the vaccine like me. So, you know what? Y'all penalizing me. Y'all throwing my name on it. I'm going to go somewhere where I can just be me. You never know.
So, lastly, let's talk Heat Celtics. As of this taping, 2-2. Who do you got winning this series? It's been blowouts. Shit's been boring to watch.
Boston. I still got Boston.
Okay.
I still got them racist Bostons.
Ooh. Still rocking?
I got to rock with Jason.
Okay.
Rock with Jason.
Still rocking with him.
So, you know, it's 2-2. What did I say? One of these is going to go to seven. The other one's a blowout right now. Yeah, so one's 3-0. One's going to be chilling.
We got to start just running clips of the shit you say, because I feel like you like Mayweather, but posting the winners. Only the winners. We ain't posting nothing.
Yeah, post Mayweather.
Just the winners.
Just the winners.
All right, last thing I'm going to hit you on. We got Juneteenth coming up. I don't know if you saw this, but Walmart tried to come out with a Juneteenth flavored ice cream that they were calling Negropolitan. Now, they weren't calling, that's what the internet was referring to it as. So just want to know, how are you celebrating? I just want to ask you, how are you celebrating Juneteenth this year?
The same way I did last year.
Nap what you're
Do
doing.
Do not remember.
Emancipate something.
I don't know, man. I just be chilling, man.
It's a federal holiday, though.
I don't get into, I don't, like Memorial Day weekend.
Doing shit?
No, last time I went on Memorial, I got arrested. For asking a question in Miami.
Wow.
I asked a question.
What was the question, though?
What do you do? So we was driving. We were on South Beach. We're driving. It's me and my boy, Avi Story, my teammate, Avi Story.
The Arizona State? Avi's a legend.
So we drive and we're going to dinner. And bumper to bumper, we're not moving. Right? We're not moving. Damn near asleep, listening to music. He out the window trying to talk to people. And then what ends up happening is, He sees a friend, and he's like, oh, man, and got out of the car. We ain't moving nowhere, and he got out of the car, he's talking to them, and then all of a sudden, the driver's like, hey, your friend is getting arrested. So I look back, 4 or 5 cops behind him.
Wow.
So I was like, hey, hold on, what'd he do? He's with me. Next thing you know, I'm getting tackled, arrested.
Wow.
Right? Somebody was like, oh, Gilbert Arenas, oh, my God, let me take a picture. Gets tased.
Somebody just gets tased.
Gets tased, boom, drops. So we get arrested, we get put in the paddy wagon. I mean, this is like right around when what's the name was out. Punked.
Okay.
So I'm thinking I'm getting punked. No lie. So we're in the paddy wagon. I'm sitting on another dude's lap. That's how many people was stuffed in there. So I'm sitting like, I'm like sitting handcuffed, like sitting on a whole another dude, just like, like, so like, I'm trying to figure out, like, all right, don't.
Protect them cheeks, yeah, bro.
So look,
feel a little poke coming through.
Yeah, no. So we get to the little station. It's a room, and it's just chairs, and it's just a whole bunch of us, right? So you know what I mean? I'm like, they took the handcuffs off. No, we still got the handcuffs on.
And how you start looking for the cameras and stuff? Like,
all right. Right? You start looking for the cameras, and then all of a sudden, this was punked. Because there's no way, dude's like, yeah, you tased me. All I wanted was a picture. Untased me. I'm going to whoop your ass. He's very good. And I just started looking for people like, I've never seen him act before. But and then Avi's story. Hey, man, y'all got a cup. I got a spit. And then he said, if you spit on that fool, I'm going to wipe your face with it. That's what the cop says.
Right. Damn, Miami cop.
Hell of a lie. What you going to do, Avi? What you gonna do? All right, you better make this real, boy. They ain't gonna wipe this fall with you. Like, so, and then everybody's telling these jokes and stuff. And then we go, we get like fingerprinted. So, and I'm like, hey, what am I being arrested for? What am I being arrested for? What you gonna write on there? What you gonna write on there? I ain't do nothing, I ain't say nothing, I don't have nothing. Like, he was like, resisting arrest. I have to commit a crime to resist that crime, then I said, that don't even make sense. I said, hello, you arrested me. I wasn't being arrested before that, so how am I resisting your arrest? That is dumb, right? We do the fingerprint, and then I'm talking to the ladies, right? They're booking me, and I said, like, hey, is this real? She was like, what do you mean? So am I getting punked? And she was like, you're Gilbert, right? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, yeah, you're not getting punked. This is real. I was like, that's a lie. I have my cell phone in my pocket still. No one searched me. That's how I know this is fake.
Yeah.
She was like, no, you're in jail, boy. I was like, no, I have my cell phone. Look, went in, pulled it out, this is my cell phone. I got arrested, I'm in jail with a cell phone. And I said, it works too. you're trying to like, I got you guys, I got my cell phone, no one searched me. She's like, no, Mr. Renus, you're arrested. She's like, but listen, you're not gonna get in trouble. This is what they do, they go down, they arrest 800 people during the weekend and get them off the street. You have $25 on you? Yeah, I got money on me too, because they didn't check me. Nobody checked me. They pulled out the $25, right? And then eventually I get out,
yeah.
Like 40 minutes later. I thought it was fake. I was like, nobody said cut, no nothing, right? And then I had to call Tommy then because USA Basketball found out about it.
Okay.
I said, no, that was fake. They just didn't say cut. So ever since then, Memorial Day, holidays, Juneteenth, you can have it. I'll be in my house. I'll be right here somewhere watching TV.
That's not a bad way to go.
What are you going to do?
I'm not doing shit.
See, thank you, man. We got to learn. I'm 40 years old, man. What the hell?
Some Negro politan ice cream. Just the chocolate section. Just the chocolate section.
Just the
chocolate milkshakes all day.
That was the best ice cream back in the day.
It was, but you only ate the one, like,
if people. Neapolitan was the best.
It was decent. It was good. I didn't appreciate it as much
as I mean, like, it was like one of those things where it was like, that was like go to daddy butter pecan. Like,
yeah,
it was
for sure.
Rocky roll, mint chip. It was like just certain ice creams, like, as children, like, those were it.
Appreciate you. Been another Heat Check. Hope you enjoyed these playoffs. We'll be back with more very soon.